Blog Talk Radio.
Get reverb.
In Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownContras.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Conjamin Ali of ConjaminAli.com in Mission Viejo, California, and our very special guest member from AIR, Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org in the high desert of California. This week we would be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Madam Pamita of MadamPamita.com in Santa Monica, California. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the AIR and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a quick moment, but first let's catch up with our co-host, Conjamin Ali, and this week's very special guest, Deacon Millett. Conjamin Ali.
Thank you for that lovely introduction, Miss Tammy Lee. How are you doing this weekend?
I'm doing great, actually. I think I teased you guys, and I think Miss Cat will get a kick out of this when she listens to it. Come into the next century, the next millennium. I have finally hooked up with an iPhone, y'all. God help us all. I'm trying to figure it out, but that means that I'm trying to catch up with all of y'all tech folks and trying to do what I need to do to make things happen. I know y'all need to see some pictures of some things that I've done, and I'm real excited about that. And so that's basically it. I'm just trying to teach myself some stuff.
That is good, Ms. Jamie Lee. You know, I have a smartphone too, but I'm on the same page as you. I don't know half the crap that's on this phone. These phones are far too smart for me. But welcome
right.
to the 21st century.
Thank you so much. And I hope Miss Kat's listening to this somewhere, and she's like, oh, thank God.
Miss Kat will definitely get a good kick out of it. And for those who are wondering where the lovely Miss Kat is, she is not with us today, obviously. She's hosting a barbecue and train get-together or festival at Lucky Mojo, and she's probably having loads and loads of fun. We wish, you know, her a great experience, and we look forward to having her back next week. And until then, you are going to be, have a great treat here by having the wonderful Deacon Millett fill in for her, who is a good friend of the show and is on regularly enough, and actually is probably one of our more popular guest as well. So join me in welcoming Deacon Millett.
Yes.
Aw, thank you guys. It's great to be here.
It's always great to have you on.
Thank you. I've had such a good weekend. I performed a marriage ceremony yesterday, and that always is so inspiring. You know, it feels good. It's one of the best parts of being, you know, a love worker is when things go right and you get to perform a marriage. It's just really great. And being in California makes it super easy to legally perform marriages, which is awesome. So it's been a nice weekend that way.
Oh, how lovely. That's great. I remember I did this marriage ceremony. I always get a kick out of the part that goes, and what God has joined together, let no man tear apart. For me, it has such an element of finality to it. So whenever I say that line during the ceremony, I may muster up all the passion I have within me and announce it as if, you know, it's God speaking. But I've always enjoyed that part of the marriage ceremony. The rest of it's all fine and nice, but that part right there is got a nice kick to it. I'm very happy to hear about performing marriage. And you're right, in California it is pretty easy. But how fitting that Deacon Millett, you know, you've got the title of Deacon there, is performing marriage ceremony.
Amen.
Now, is this something that you would consider offering more widely, or is this something that you're just doing amongst friends?
You know, I've mainly done friends, but I have had clients and coworkers talk to me about it. The tricky part is flying to other states where the laws are all different. And I feel like it's very important to research all the rules if you're going for the legality part. If it's just a ceremony of love, you know, that doesn't involve a marriage license, that's very, very different. So, but yes, I have flown places to perform marriages, and you know, am always happy to do it.
Oh, how exciting. This is something that I actually did not know about as a new offer. So anyone who's listening, if you're interested, Deacon Millett, he's willing and ready to you know, take marriage and relationships to the next level. That's very exciting. And speaking of love, we have the lovely Madam Thamita joining us as a guest, who presented an amazing workshop this past month in May at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival on love and glamour magic. So welcome, Madam Thamita.
Thanks for that warm welcome. Happy to be here.
Always glad to have you on. Our visits on the show are far and too few in between, but we do love having you on here. What's new in your world?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mention all this wedding stuff coming up, because I have two clients of mine who are getting married this coming weekend, and I'm not performing the ceremony because this coming weekend is my birthday weekend and I'm taking the weekend off, but they met because they were both clients of mine, and I never have done this before and haven't done it since, but they were both looking for love, and intuitively I had this, my guides were telling me to introduce them, and now they're getting married, and it's really a magical ceremony. Really fun.
Love that. That is so great. Madam Thamita, the hoodoo love matchmaker. That is great. I love that. That's a very cute meet cute story right there.
Yeah, so it's really, I'm really happy for them. They're a very sweet couple. They've been together a few years now, and they're finally tying the knot. So very, very excited for them.
Well, congratulations to them, and happy early birthday to you. Hopefully you'll have an amazing birthday.
Thank you.
Now, every show we have a proposed panel discussion that is usually proposed by our guest, and Madam Pamita has actually brought up a really interesting one that, as far as I can remember, I don't think we've discussed before, but it is one of the most staple conditions that are worked in hoodoo, and that is gambling magic. I think we may have touched on it before, but not actually a full-on panel. And it is one of the most important and most traditional aspects of a root worker, whether it is discovering lucky numbers, or it's making mojo bags, or lighting candles, increasing luck, or directly manipulating the odds for gambling. It is one of the most important aspects of root working, and is also a very important staple of the tradition itself. So I'm very glad that you proposed the discussion. And I'd like to turn it over to you and to start us off a little bit in telling us what you do in regards to gambling magic and gambling root work.
Well, I was thinking about that as we were getting ready for the show today, and I realized that this is a pretty apropos and timely topic, because we have the World Cup going on right now, and I'm sure there's lots of money exchanging hands over the World Cup. And actually today is the final closing day of Santa Anita Racetrack down here in Southern California. It's our last day, and I love to once or twice a year go down to the racetrack and gamble a little extra, spending money, not too much, but just have a little fun at the racetrack. And I will say that when I go to the racetrack, I do bring a gambling mojo hand with me, and I always walk away with more than I walked in with. So.
Now, do you find when you do gambling magic that it is easier when you're working on more concentrated gambling, like gambling on sports, gambling on races and casino stuff versus more lottery numbers?
Absolutely. I think that the more immediate, and I think the more, I always feel like the more tactile you can get with magic, that you can reach out and touch something, or you're very close to something, or can energetically be there with it. We don't usually have an opportunity to be there when they're pulling the lottery balls. You know, that's not something that most people, I don't know if anybody gets to experience that. Maybe there's an audience, you know. But things like horse racing, card playing, you know, dominoes, doing those sorts of gambling, to me, you can have a more of an immediate impact, because especially if you're working with, you know, roots or artifacts or talismans and things like that, they're right there with you, and you're right there with the tools that you're using for the gambling. The horses are right there in front of you. You can go look at the horses, look them in the eye, you know, and hold your mojo hand and get a feeling for which one's the winner, which is what I like to do. Or you can, you know, touch the cards with your hands that you may have dressed your hands with, oil or a tea or wash. So I think those, to me, it goes in all kinds of magic as far as I'm concerned. If you can touch the money with your money magic, if you can touch the person that you are attracted to and you want to come to you and all those sorts of things, I think you have a stronger impact than long distance. Not saying you can't do long distance, but it just seems to me that there's the closer you can get to the object, the stronger the pull you can have on it.
Definitely agree with you there. That's sage advice for any type of root work that you're doing, not just gambling, but love, any type of contact. Whenever there's that proximity, your chances go up quite a bit. Deacon Millett, I wanted to ask you, what type of work do you do when it comes to gambling? Is there a particular type of work that is your go-to for it, or is there a style of gambling that you prefer to work on, like you prefer working on races versus lottery? But what is it that, you know, really is your area in gambling?
Well, I actually do a lot of lottery stuff. And the key to lottery work seems to be one ticket only. It's interesting that I've been able to go for a whole year doing better than breaking even. I consider in gambling breaking even to be a win. Because gambling is always not in our favor. The odds are always stacked against us. So if we can use root work to push it over to 51% for us, that's huge. Because as long as you're not losing money, you can keep investing it and giving God the opportunity to give you a big, big win. So I think that's pretty important. Slot machines are also really amazing. You would think that a mechanical device would not be subject to magic, but they seem to be.
I always find technology is really susceptible. I mean, it seems like it's beyond, like, it seems counterintuitive, but for whatever reason, what happens during Mercury in retrograde? It's always the printers and computers, right? So it's the same thing. Whenever gambling magic, for whatever reason, I'm with you there. It's a slot machine. You get to influence it. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it always surprises me that way. Well, Madam Pamina, what things do you put in your mojo bags?
Well, you know, one of the things that I find fascinating about gambling work and studying gambling work and doing gambling work, it's a very broad topic in traditional hoodoo. probably as broad as love work, and maybe even broader than definitely some other kinds of work. It has, there's tons and tons and tons of resources, recipes, and historical documents referencing specifically gambling magic, which is a what you would think of as a very sort of narrow topic of life. But in terms of luck, you know, when we think about the idea, you know, of having a lucky talisman, you know, just, you know, Joe Blow on the street knows that a rabbit's foot is carried, or a four-leaf clover is carried for good luck. So we do associate lucky talismans with gambling and good luck. Even the average Joe knows that. So one of the things that I love about gambling magic is that it requires, there's some things that are used in gambling magic and we don't really see them used for much else. We don't, we really see them focus much more on gambling than other kinds of work. Sometimes they cross over into prosperity work in general, but there's some that are really, really specific to gambling. And I think of those, there's lots of what I would say are hard, big hard roots and talismans and things like that that you can carry around with you. So, for example, like an alligator paw, alligator claw, you would use an alligator to go grab your money for you, especially if you're doing hand-related work, you know, like playing with cards or playing with dice or dominoes, something you're doing with your hands, slot machine, again, things that you're doing with your hands. An alligator claw is a great talisman to carry around with you. And it's pretty specific to gambling. I mean, you can use it for prosperity, too, but it seems to have more of its more historical references in gambling. And, you know, you think about those big, hard roots. Of course, like you could use High John, the Conqueror root, which is a big, nice, big, hard root. We use that for lots of things, but it is also specifically used for gambling. Nutmeg, buckeyes, you know, those big, hard nuts that are, you know, I think of as being like you want to be like the hard nut to crack. You don't want to be, like, especially if you're doing a poker tournament, you don't want to be the, you want to have your poker face. The interesting one is we usually think of raccoon penis bone as being in when we're doing things like when we're throwing bones or doing that kind of work. It's kind of like shady, sexy energy, something in the sex area is being a little shady, but it's also used as a talisman for good luck. And I think, well, yeah, you kind of want to be tricky when you're, you know, you want to kind of trick them out of their money, whoever it is, the house or the people you're playing with or whatever, you want to trick them. And so that raccoon penis bone is a kind of another great talisman for that. So silver dimes, you know, the mercury dimes, those are good. Those are good for prosperity, but they're also good for gambling. So when I carry a mojo hand, my gambling mojo hand, when I go to the horse races, and I have I can tell you I have a silver dime in there. I have a nutmeg in there. I also have a little horse charm in there. And then I have various herbs like chamomile. Chamomile is a great herb for gambling because it's those golden flowers that are like golden coins. Chamomile is also a great, you can make chamomile tea and use that once it's cooled down for a hand wash for when you're gambling. There's just oodles and oodles of possibilities. I think that, you know, the mixtures are almost endless in terms of what you can create and make to bring, give yourself the edge. And really that's what you're trying to do. Like you said, that 51%, you're just trying to do better than average. And like, you know, go to the horse races. I've won some good amounts of money. I've never won enough to live off of for sure, but when I go, I always go back. When I bring my mojo, I always go back with more than I came with, even if it's $5 more than I came with. Oh, I had a great day, and I came back with an extra $5. I think that's a good deal, you know? So,
yeah. Gambling should be thought of as entertainment, and when it gets deeper than that is when you have to start worrying if you're addicted to gambling. But if you can spend a whole day having fun and walk away with five extra dollars in your pocket, that's way cheaper than a movie, you know? one thing that it brought to mind thinking about horse racing, I would think that a single hair from the mane of a winning horse would be a wonderful thing to have in a gambling mojo.
Amazing.
That's a great idea.
Wouldn't it be great to tie your hair around that winning horse's hair so you control
Amen.
The outcome?
Absolutely.
That is brilliant. I love that. You know, I think, Deacon Miller, you really hit on something very important there. You said gambling should be entertainment. And I have found, I used to do quite a bit of gambling work earlier on, but I have decreased it over the years because I find, and this is the reason why I've decreased it, is because people stopped doing it for fun and started doing it as a means of trying to survive. So there's people who have no money, and they're putting what little money they have into gambling, hoping that that's going to catch a big break. And in my experience as a root worker, rarely did that happen. More often than not, the people who make the most money out of gambling are the ones that there's no pressure. They do it for fun.
Yeah.
Right? You go in there, you're not worried about how much you're going to lose, you're just going to have some fun. And they walk away making a killing. They really do. They do the right work. They listen. They go in there with the right attitude. They don't feel stressed. They let the magic do the work for them. They've got their mojo bag. They put their trust in the work. And they're done. The people that go in there like, I need to do this because I need to make rent, are the people that rarely need gambling needs to, and I find that this is because of the nature of luck. Luck needs to flow. When you're trying to possess luck, or when you're trying to control luck, or you're trying to like force luck to do what you want, it doesn't work that way. Luck is a lady. You go with the flow, and if you go with the flow, then you work out. Now, along those lines, I have always been taught that in gambling work, that it should also go hand in hand. Now, this is a very Southern idea, and it's very typical of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and that region, that when you do luck work, that it should always be complemented with some type of protection work, because luck is the first thing to go. Luck and money is the first thing to go when someone throws ish your way, whether it's the evil eye, whether it's slander, whether it's them actively doing work. And so you always want to have some type of protection work. One of the things I was taught is that you take the gator hand and you wrap its little fingers using thread around either a silver dime, or in this case I was taught to use actually a 50 cent. And you wrap around it and you dress that with some type of luck oil, like good luck oil from Lucky Mojo or fast luck oil. But you also add a little bit of protection. The idea is the gator will protect your money. Not only draw money, but make sure that you keep the money so that you don't make this big winning and then lose it all again, whether it's by buying more tickets or betting more, whatever it is. So I find the idea of complementing gambling work with some type of protection to really bring a stabilizing element to that really fickle nature of luck.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You know, gambling, it's just another way of using the gator hand. Go on, Madam Desire.
I was saying, you know, you brought up the fast luck oil and good luck oil. There's so many great oils. I want to give a little plug to Lucky Mojo because there's so many excellent oils, and they can get very, very specific. I mean, Kat probably has at Lucky Mojo, like, I want to say, like, maybe 7 or 8 good luck and gambling luck. Maybe there's even 10. Oils, like there's Black Cat oil, which is a great one for gambling. There's Good Luck oil. There's Lucky Buddha oil. There's Lucky Mojo oil. There's Lucky Virgin oil. Fast Luck oil. You know, so there's a lot of great oils. So if you are, I think the oils are fantastic for people who are like, I don't feel comfortable. I don't know root work that well, but I want to still give myself the edge. And if you just take those oils and rub it on your hand or, you know, dress your mojo bag with them, you've got it taken care of, and you really don't have to have the recipe in your head or be super familiar with all the you know, ins and outs of root work to still get an edge in your gambling work. So
absolutely. And I would also mention the sachet powders, because dusting the money you're going to gamble with some of the lucky sachet powders is really powerful, as well as, you know, writing return to me on the money itself. Turning your gambling money into hunting money is great.
Oh,
and speaking of powders, in terms of powders, there's a very old root work powder, which is arrowroot powder, just a straight arrowroot powder, is used for a base or dusting your hands with that before you go gambling or dusting your money with that. That's a very old root work tool, arrowroot powder, which is, you know, you can get that. It's an edible thing. You use it for gravy, like to make gravy a little thicker and that kind of thing. But that's a great one for gambling and very old and very traditional.
Well, and I like charging arrowroot powder. I like keeping it with a buckeye and some pyrite and some other things in a little jar and then using that to dust my hands. I feel like it gives it that extra oomph. Quite wonderful. And it's a good thing to mix with the Lucky Mojo sachet powders, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the things that I find most important about doing gambling work is consistency. Like all types of financial magic, there should be a level of consistency. Don't just work the mojo bag when you're going into the casino, when you're going to do it. It needs to be done consistently so that you're in a state of luck. You're constantly drawing that towards you. And it's the same thing with the lodestone. I think the lodestone as a symbolic metaphor for both money and luck is actually very important. You're working that lodestone regularly because you're shifting the flow of money. You become the center. You yourself in your life becomes a lodestone of sorts, drawing money at all times. And it's the same thing with luck. You need to carry that luck with you. So it's not just light one candle and then go off and do your thing. No, it's consistently doing things. You want to be in a state of luck. You want to be taking baths. You want to be washing your hands with chamomile tea, like Madame Kumita mentioned. You want to be dusting things with powder. You want to carry your mojo bag with you. And when you're in that state of luck, that's when you will be the most lucky in terms of getting your, you know, money returned to you, making sure that you get, you know, the numbers that you want. And, you know, it is important that you kind of consistently do it and you really tap into that type of flow of power. One final thing I want to mention before I kind of turn it back to you guys is lucky numbers. You know, chamomile tea is also used for numbers. And there's certain routes and certain ways of doing gambling magic that is specific to the type of gambling you're going to do. So any type of lottery work, you want to work with any type of root work that's aimed at producing numbers, right? So chamomile is excellent for that. Any type of gambling and luck that combines an element of psychic vision or psychic intuition, which chamomile does, is going to help you out there with lucky numbers. Whereas in terms of working on races or skill, you want to work with something like Hoyt's Cologne or John the Conqueror or Mastru, which have an element of increasing innate skills. So you can tailor your root work according to the gambling that you're about to do rather than just creating a general type of gambling spell or gambling work.
Absolutely. Well, and personalizing that work, you know, a little bit of urine on a gambling mojo bag is very traditional. A lot of people will dismiss themselves from, you know, a poker game or go in the bathroom and give a little charge to their mojo bag. And, you know, that's very, very classic. And we think, but, you know, no, it's to get luck for you. And I'm glad you mentioned Hoyt's, because, of course, Hoyt's is just so so traditional in terms of gambling luck.
Miss Cat relates a really interesting story about Hoyt's Cologne. And it comes from old-time pharmacies that would carry that. And people would come in, gambling, luck and gambling we associate with Mercury. But Friday is another day that's often done for gambling luck. One, because Venus is rules luxury, but also because Friday is the day that you get paid. And so she relates how clients would come in on Fridays after they've been paid and they've gotten their paycheck, and they would come in by Hoyt's Cologne and then douse themselves with Hoyt's Cologne before they went out and gambled. And Hoyt's Cologne has that reputation of being lucky just on its own, not even adding it to anything. But imagine using Hoyt's Cologne on a mojo bag or putting a John the Conqueror root with Hoyt's Cologne and then washing your hands before you do some work. It's powerful, old-school work.
Absolutely.
Hoyt's Cologne has that reputation of being lucky just on its own, not even... For a second, I heard myself speaking. Is that just me, or did we have an echo there?
I heard that. I was a little slighted.
It may be that you needed that. That was worth repeating.
Apparently so. Well, anytime I get a chance to hear my own lovely voice is a good time, so I approve.
That Hoyt Cologne. Yes. Oh, just one last thing on Hoyt Cologne. It's like that is absolutely what I use to clear and cleanse and prepare lodestone all the time. All the time.
Oh,
yeah.
And I tell people if they don't use whiskey, Hoyt's Cologne is the way to prepare lodestone. You know, it's the I know Florida water has become the really big popular thing nowadays in modern day conjure, but Florida water really comes out of the Afro-Caribbean and through Florida, and some of the shops like New York adopting it really early on, as well as some of the LA areas. But for hoodoo, the cologne of choice has always been Hoyt's Cologne. It's what we use for washing lodestones. It's what we use for washing roots. It's what we use for gambling, for luck, for love, for money, for everything, really. So hopefully people will start using it once more after they hear that and they get a little bit of luck. And Madam Bermuda, you mentioned Jockey Club Cologne. That's absolutely right. Jockey Club Cologne is another one that's huge. This is a fascinating... And we can go on and on for, I think, a whole hour and a half on gambling, because it really is, and you're right, there really is so much depth and breadth to this topic and so many different areas that can be explored. So thank you for bringing this up. Hopefully this is a incentive for you to come back and we can do a gambling spells part two where we work out some of the nuances and details of this work, but I will leave that up to you. So thank you for this topic. Let's turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee, and we can get to our callers who have been patiently waiting on the phone. Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, sir, Conjurman Ali, and y'all. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your host, Conjurman Ali, and this week's very, very special guest from AIR, Deacon Millett of fouraltars.org, and our also very special guest joining us, Madam Pamita of MadamPamita.com in Santa Monica, California. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to our first client. Our first client is calling in from area code 336 from Greensboro. This is Melissa. Melissa, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our panel know that this is your first time calling in, and to the best of my knowledge, from what I can see from what you've written, you have not yet received any other readings from any members from AIR, and you have also not been on the show prior to today's date. Okay? And she writes, my boyfriend and I broke up. Initially, I expected it to be brief and a temporary situation. We were both upset now, but it hasn't changed, and I want to know if the situation will change. I ordered some spell kits and hope for reconciliation. I love him dearly. Turning it back over to you.
Thank you for that, Ms. Emily. Let's have Deacon Millett do the first reading.
Okay. So I'm going to be using my Secret Dakini Oracle deck, and it's a little different from the traditional tarot, but let's see what it says here. I'm going to draw three cards.
Okay.
And the first card is Joker. This is the Fool of the traditional tarot. It's a card of new beginnings. It's a card of naivete. It's a card of starting out on an adventurous journey. And it's also a card of kind of trickster energy in this particular deck. The second card is Survival. This is a kind of a spooky card at three in the background, spewing out pollution and a whole bunch of gravel in the front with a single plant living, a little budding plant in the front. And it really says that there's some survival issues here. The third card is Death, Transfiguration. It's one of those cards that freaks a lot of people out, but it's just, in this case, a card of major change. Altogether, these cards tell me to move on. It says, you know, what's done is done, and start fresh, and your life will be the better for it.
Okay.
Let's have Madam Pamita take a look and see what she sees in this situation.
Okay. First card I pull up is I'm using the traditional Rider-Waite deck. I'm using the Pamela Coleman Smith edition, which is a replica of the 1909 first printing of that deck. Anyway, here's the first card I got with Ace of Swords. Ace of Swords is a card about new beginnings. It's also a card about clarity. It's also a card about drawing boundaries and drawing clear boundaries. This card goes along with the next card. The next card is Five of Wands, and Five of Wands is struggle, conflict, people going in different directions. And when I see these two cards together, I feel like with that Five of Wands energy, it feels like the two of you aren't moving on the same path together. And I think that you're having this separation as a time for gaining clarity about this relationship, and that Ace of Swords is a logic card. Energy of air and energy of logic. This should not be an emotional decision. This should be a logical decision. I know that's hard to fathom when you're thinking about relationships, but what would be helpful in this situation would be to sit down and write a pros and cons list about your relationship and look at it with absolute clarity. You may make some different decisions than when you think from they come from the place of the heart. The heart sometimes takes us in places where we remember the good times about the relationship, but we remember all the lovey-dovey stuff, but we might not remember the cold, hard facts. And if you can take this time and take this opportunity of separation to really give it a very logical look and a very, seek that clarity in looking at the relationship, you might see that the separation is, in fact, something that's a positive. Sometimes when we're out of a relationship and we don't see another relationship on the horizon, it's easy to go back. I know. Ultimately, whatever decision you make, you know, in terms of this, you have free will and you can make whatever decision you want. I do see happiness for you because we have the Sun card showing up. And the Sun card is a card that represents a freedom. It represents, there's a little, in the image on the card is a little baby who's riding on a horse with a big red banner and it's in a beautiful garden and the sun is shining. We're seeing a situation where a new, you know, the new day is dawning and there's the refreshment of new beginnings, like that little baby. The possibilities are going to be, you know, I see that, you know, in conjunction with what Deacon Millett saw, maybe that your direction for finding this happiness might not necessarily be together. But I think that what's advisable, especially with that Ace of Swords, is to look at it really, really clearly and non-emotionally.
Okay.
Thank you for that, Madam. You know, you're getting some really clear responses, both in terms of what you should be doing and what your chances are in regards to the relationship. Now, it's up to you whether you decide to pursue it still or not. But both Deacon Miller and Madam Pamita are kind of telling you, you know, it may be time to move forward and move on. And holding back may not necessarily, you know, holding up for this relationship may end up holding you back. And we want to avoid that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a recommendation on what I think can help you bring that clarity. It isn't necessarily a breakup or move on type of a spell, but it is a working that will help you decide whether it's time for you to move on or not, kind of your final introspection and taking a look at this with that clarity that Madame Pamita mentioned, and also using some level of logic and reason versus just holding out for the emotions, because we look back with rosy glasses, right? It can be the worst relationship in the world. Oh, but look at those amazing times. Remember that time when we had fun? Remember that time when we laughed together? Never mind the 50 times he didn't call you back, right? Things like that. So what I would recommend is taking a piece of paper, right, and tearing this paper in two. And I want you to very deliberately tear this paper. So to tear this paper in two. On one side, I want you to write down all the positives of the relationship, okay? Not specifically by name, like, so-and-so does this, but all the good things that this person has brought into the life and in your life, and all the good things that, you know, came into the relationship, all the good aspects of the relationship. So write down the attributes. I always have fun. I feel like I can be myself. The sex is great. Whatever. All those things, write that down. Okay? Then on the other piece of paper, what you're going to do is you're going to write all the negative aspects or the things that drive you nuts. I don't get a response when I send a text message. He disappears for periods of time. He's withdrawn, et cetera, et cetera. And you're going to write that list, and you're going to see how do they match up. Which list is bigger? Which list is more important? If there are some really serious red flags on the con list or the bad list, you have your answer right then and there, right? Not just minor things. If it's minor things like, oh, he doesn't put the seat up on the toilet, whatever, right? Or he leaves the seat up, whatever. The big thing, like communication issues, right? Like he'll disappear for a week at a time. That's a problem, okay? So take a look at both in terms of quality as well as quantity. And then what you're going to do is you're going to fold up the bad list, okay? And you're going to put this in a heat-proof bowl or a cauldron, something that can withstand some heat. You're going to add a pinch of salt, and you're going to say over that salt, all the negative that is in this I banish and send far, far away from it. You're going to douse with Florida water, and you're going to set that sucker on fire. Be careful. Don't send your finger, so use like a long mask or a long stick to light it. Okay? Florida water will give out this beautiful blue-green fragrant smoke. And then you're going to take the ashes of that and you're going to throw it at a crossroads and walk away without looking back. You're going to come home and you're going to take that good list, and that's going to turn into the list of your ideal love. That's what you want. Okay? You're going to dab that with a little bit of come to me oil at the four corners in the center. You're going to place some rose petals in the middle of that. You're going to put some Damiana. You're going to put some ginger or passion in there. You're going to put any other herbs that you really feel like you want to add in there, but those three should be sufficient, and a couple other ones that are good are cinnamon and juniper, or juniper. You're going to fold that up, and you're going to place that into a mojo bag, and you're going to pray into that mojo bag that as you give it life with your breath, so will it bring to you your ideal lover, whoever they may be. Okay? You're going to breathe into that, and you're going to close it shut. And then you're going to anoint it with a little bit of come-to-me oil, and then smoke it into the come-to-me incense, right? And for a whole week, I want you to hold that mojo bag close to your skin, okay? So if you could tuck it into your underwear, pin it to the inside of your clothes, it has to actually touch your skin for about a week. After that, you can place it in your pocket, put it in your purse, whatever. And once a week, you're going to take that mojo bag out, and you're going to feed a little bit of oil, and you're going to speak to that mojo bag. You're going to hold it in your hand, and you're going to ask it, please bring me my ideal lover. Now, you haven't specified who your ideal lover is. If it turns out to be the guy that you're interested in, and you can work through all the negativity, right, work through all the bad that's in the relationship, you've banished it with the working, then the mojo bag will bring that person back into your life. If it is not, it will bring your ideal person, your ideal mate, who will have all the good qualities that your current lover has without any of the negatives that you listed and banished away. So this working works on two different levels. It helps to give you some level of clarity through the list, as well as gives you a personal talisman that will go out and seek your personal and your perfect lover for you, whoever that person may be. The key to its success is to be open to it. Whoever comes into your life, be open to that person. Okay? Let go, and whatever happens, wherever the cards fall, let them fall. Okay? Especially given the reading that you were given by both Madame Pamida and Deacon Miller, I would not recommend doing targeted reconciliation work. Work aimed at specifically drawing this person back. Simply do this work and see where the path leads you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and Deacon Miller or Madame Pamida, do you have anything to add to that or any further suggestions?
I was just going to jump in and say I love working with the idea of throwing the salt in there too. And this first time I've ever heard of using the salt in that process, and I love it. I love that.
It's a good way of adding that banishing element in there, adding it just a little, not too much, though, because you want the Florida water to actually cover everything when you light it. Did you know?
Well, I was just going to say that's one of the things I recommend highly is this sort of drawing your perfect lover to you work, because it really enables you to ascertain whether the person you're enamored of is the right person. I have a lot of clients who, you know, are quite ready to let go of somebody that's not necessarily right for them. And I really encourage them to do exactly that kind of work. Because, as you say, if this is the right guy, a generalized attraction for the perfect mate will bring him back. I just want to agree with your working here, Conjurman Ali. It's quite effective and very wise.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And good luck, caller. We do wish you all the best. And if you follow through with this and keep your heart open, I have no doubt that you will find success and happiness. All the best now.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to turn this over to the lovely Miss Tammy Lee, who is going to lead us on to our next call.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Conjurman Ali. And y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next new client. And our next new client is calling in from area code 317 from Indy. I'm assuming this is Indianapolis. Okay. And we've got she wants to be referred to as Bubble Butt. So here we go. Bubble Butt, are you there, caller? We can call you Bubbles or Bubble Butt. What would you like? I like Bubbles.
Either one's fine.
All right, Bubbles is good. I like that better. Okay. A long-time loyal listener, and thank you so much for tuning in to us each and every Sunday. Here we go. We haven't had any readings or root work done from any members of AIR, and she writes, I'm a Capricorn. I feel extremely lost in every aspect of my life. My love life is terrible. I have had really bad social anxiety and have no life. In other words, friends. I suffer from depression, and it's worse. And the more alone and I just dropped my place. I beg your pardon, guys. Hang on tight. It's Mercury retrograde. Here we go. I'm sorry, guys. Hang tight for me. Hang tight. All right. Here we go. Okay. I suffer from depression, and it's worse. The more alone and uninvolved I realize my life is, I'm currently getting help for it. I need to know what's in my cards when it comes to this year and when my financial break will come, so at least I can be relieved from that stress. turning it back over to you, and again, I apologize for the technical challenges.
Not a problem. Thank you for that, Ms. Tammy Lee. I'm sorry to hear of your troubles, Bubbles, and it's bad because you're such a lovely name, Bubbles or Bubble Butt, and you're, you know, going through quite a bit. Now, it's interesting, as a Capricorn, you ended your statement with you've been wanting to know about your financial break, but you have two different kind of issues here. One is love and kind of a social aspect, and the other is finances. Which do you want us to focus on? Because we do need to kind of narrow it down a little bit.
I'm going to say love because I'm taking that one the hardest right now.
Okay. All right. That's not a problem. Well, interestingly enough, a little bit of finances came up in your reading anyway. So I have pulled three cards here, and I am also using the Rider-Waite. This is kind of the Rider-Waite get-together, I guess. And the cards that came out are, you know, they speak to the situation, but there is hope. Okay, the first card that we have here is Eight of Cups. Eight of Cups shows us a person in red cloak walking away from eight goblets. Now, some people say that this person is actually stealing a goblet or walking away with one. And they're walking away from the hope, wisdom, and happiness that those goblets represent and walking into a bleak and barren background as the moon looks down mournfully. This is a situation that indicates that you're walking away from a great deal, that there is stuff in your past that continues to haunt you, that there are moments in your past that you continue to carry with you and they've become a burden for you, that your past is very much filled with sorrow, filled with lost opportunity, and filled with the inability to fully achieve what you want to achieve. And the Eight of Cups is a sorrowful card. It is a card of sorrow and mourning. And it tells us that your current state is one of mourning, and you should be aware of that. So long as you remain in this state where your cloak is ragged and dark and you are huddled against the elements, you will remain in this state of mourning and loss. You want to be able to kind of cast that off. So it is very important to open yourself up. And we really see that in the next card, which is the Six of Pentacles. The Six of Pentacles also speaks to the financial aspect of it, but also has an element of emotion there. So the Six of Pentacles shows us a rich merchant who is handing out coins to two indigents or beggars, and he's got a scale in one hand, and the other hand he's handing out coins. First, it tells me, yes, that there is going to be a financial break for you. I sense it's going to be around the fall time frame for you, that you'll get some finances coming your way. It's not going to be a law. It's not going to be a big old transformation for you. But it is going to be enough of a break that will ameliorate some of your situations and help manage that for you. So that's a good news. The second thing that this tells us is that you have what it takes in order to overcome your situation emotionally, but you need to get professional help as well. Now, you said you're already seeking help for that. That's good, because I do get a very strong between these two cards, a sense of depression, a sense of sorrow, and that's not something that is magical in nature, that's something that's emotional in nature, and that will need to be treated by a expert in that field, okay? So definitely seek out some help when it comes to that. Seek out therapy. Seek out people who can assist you with the emotional aspect of things. And there are some root work that you can do that can also uplift your spirits, because there is a very strong need to uplift spirit here. And the final card that I have here is the Star. The Star tells us that things are going to line up for you shortly. It shows a beautiful nude woman kneeling down next to a pool. She has two jugs in her hand, and she's pouring water into the pool before her, as well as the land next to her. And above her are shining stars. This speaks to astrological timing. You may be going through some stuff astrologically, and I would recommend you get a reading. Deacon Millett, who is on the air, is a brilliant astrologer. You need to seek him out. You can also talk to Professor Ames, who's the other astrologer that does this type of work. But things are going to be transitioning for you. There is some type of astrological timing that is going to be coming up for you in the next few months that is going to open up opportunities, both in terms of finances. That's the break that we see in the Six of Pentacles. And in the Star card, we see a break when it comes to love. You will find love in your life, but it will only come once the timing is right. In order to help prepare yourself so that you can make the most of the opportunities that will come into your life as a result of that astrological timing, of that life timing, if you will, of that life transition, you need to do some emotional work, some emotional clearing work, some bathing work, and some healing work on yourself so that you are ready and prepared for when these opportunities present themselves. So I do see mourning here, but I can also tell you that I see hope for you. Prepare yourself for what is to come, take advantage of that hope, and things will look up for you. That's the reading that I get. Now I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues, Deacon Millett specifically, to take a look and see what he sees in regards to your situation.
Hello, I'm going to pull three cards, but I can tell you right off the bat that Conjurman Ali is dead on about the astrology. Pluto is in Capricorn right now, and it's part of the
yep.
Cardinal Grand Cross. So it's really been ugly, and it's been ugly for, 6 to 8 months. But we're coming out of all these retrogrades. So starting next month, things are going to look up. So I can verify for the astrology exactly what the cards were telling Conjurman Ali. Things are going to be better. And I also want to just point out that as a fellow Capricorn, we do have problems with melancholy and depression. Saturn is our ruling planet, for better or worse. And Capricorns were also very much late bloomers. I met the love of my life when I was 37. And yes, it takes a long time to get to the places that we need. But the wonderful thing is that we blossom much later in life. So there's a lot to look forward to as a Capricorn. So don't lose hope. After the second Saturn return at age 56, 58, things get really amazing. And I'm looking forward to it greatly. I'm about to turn 50 years, like Madame Comita. So I'm really looking forward to it. So quickly, three cards for you. The first card I draw is Scarlet Woman. This is a femme fatale kind of a card, and it tells me that there may be some work against you in some way. There may be jealous people who have been cruel to you in the past, who have messed up relationships for you. It also, though, says to embrace the sexier parts of your nature. So you may want to do some bewitching kind of glamour work that Madame Pamita can probably tell you more about in terms of increasing the yumminess of your life, both for you personally and to attract others to you. The second card is Puja Purification. And this is a card that literally shows a healing spiritual bath, a cleansing bath. So, that seems to be what we're all saying is do focus in on some cleansing work and make that a regular part of your life. With Saturn as our ruler, regularity is key. We have to do things on a regular schedule. So I would say a weekly cleansing and healing bath is very much in your best interest. The third card is Eternal Life. This card shows a rising sun, a sphinx, an ankh, and it's the marriage card in this deck. You just have faith. This card says you will be married and you will be happy. So it can be very hard to see that, but don't disbelieve it. When we get depressed, one of the things we do is that we can kill every bit of magic in our lives by simply refusing to believe that anything's going to get better. This card very clearly says that love is going to come your way. So don't look at how things currently are. Don't continue to check in and go, well, is the love of my life here yet? No. Instead, keep keep your eyes wide open, your spirit wide open, and know that this person is out there. And make it an adventure. You know, wow, is this him? Is this the one? And let the good things come, because we have a really bad tendency to stop the good when we get in that dark place.
That is a great reading. I couldn't agree more. Thank you for that. And I think you really hit the nail on the head there with the need to believe. That's so true. When we get the pressure, we can kill that magic. So let's turn this over to Madam Thalita. You are in good hands, because I recommended both. You can recommend some cleansing work. You can also recommend some glamour work. Well, this is the glamour queen who, along with Madam Nadia, presented one of the coolest workshops on glamour magic this past May at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. So, Madam Thalita, take it away.
You know what? Thank you so much. That's so sweet to say. I got a spell. It's actually not a glamour spell, but it's a terrific spell. And my guides were just saying this spell is perfect for you and perfect for this situation, because it's, you know, we can sometimes get so focused on, I want the lover. And once I have the lover, my whole life is going to be better. I'm not going to feel sad anymore and all of that. But if we're really in a place of that low vibration and that sadness and despair, the lover isn't going to fix it. So the spell that I'm going to recommend to you is to really project in a very new thought kind of way, activating and attracting what it is in that you want to come into your life, including the lover, but not just the lover. So what you need for the spell is 9 cocoa beans in their hull. They're pretty big. They're as big as lima beans. And what you're going to do is you're going to put them in your bath. You're going to put 3 beans in at first, and you put those first 3 beans. As you put each of those in, I want you to say something that you appreciate about your life in the past. What is it that you love from the past that is maybe still in your life, but it comes from your past? Like, maybe you used to be an artist and you kind of dropped it, but it was something that brought you a lot of joy. So you would say, I love that I had talent in art. Or I love that I have a family that when I was a child was good to me. Whatever it is from your past. 3 of those beans. The next 3 beans that you're going to put in, cocoa beans, you're going to put in, you're going to say what it is that you love about your life in the present. That's maybe the challenge, a little bit of a challenge. But even if it's, I've got food on my table, I've got a roof over my head, I've got the sun is shining outside. I mean, you can get to the basics if you can't find something more specific. Find 3 things that you love in the present. The last 3 beans, these are the really truly magical ones. You're going to say 3 things that you want to bring into your life, but you are going to say them as if they are already here. I love that I have this amazing lover. I love that I have a job that pays me well and that I enjoy doing. I love that I have, you know, amazing friends and a social life that fulfills me. Whatever it is that you're wanting, you speak it as if it is already happening, because the beans, the cocoa beans themselves, are uplifting, and it's going to start the vibration moving up so that you're not feeling in one of the lowest vibrations, which is despair and hopelessness. You're going to start to feel maybe a little inkling of hope about this, and that support of that being is really going to help it along. I don't think it's a substitute for the mental health care or the care that you're getting, the counseling that you're getting, but it certainly can support it on a spiritual level. The magical thing about those last 3 beans, though, is this. What you want to get to is a place where you feel an eager anticipation for these things coming to you. This is what Conjurmana Lee was talking about. You can't be in the place where you are feeling distant from it, where, oh, I want a lover, oh, I don't have a lover, okay, that you just distanced yourself from that. You want to go, I want my lover, and I can't wait for my lover to come in. I can't wait for my lover to come. So if you work this, with those beans, you can use them over and over again, bath after bath. each time say something different, though. Each time give a different word of appreciation and gratitude with each of those beings about some three things from the past, three things from the present, and three things going forward that you would like to bring into your life right now. And you keep doing that along with the cleansing work. So it's not exactly glamour work. It's not exactly attraction work. It's about you getting to a place of high vibration. And when you're in a place of higher vibration, guess what happens? All good things come to you. So this is a very big, all-encompassing kind of work.
Well, no, I think it's brilliant. And you know, there's a secret there that I don't think a lot of people pick up on, but you are your most attractive when you're at the highest vibration, you know, and you are your most glamorous and you are your most successful at that point. Have you ever met someone who just exudes in, you know, success and is glowing? And that's because they are at that level. When you're down and depressed, you are not your most attractive, and it's nigh impossible to attract anyone to you. No one wants to be around that type of energy. So I think this is a brilliant one. Now, you said she can repeat this as necessary. She can use this regularly, right? Like Deacon Miller recommended, like maybe once a week doing this type of work?
Yes, absolutely. And I would do it recommending, you know, Deacon Miller recommending the cleansing. You do this work after your cleansing. So whether you do the cleansing work one night and then the cocoa beans the next, but you do it in that after sort of way because you want to clear out the negativity and then put in what it is that you want, not the other way around.
Perfect. That makes sense. And you can time this pretty easily, too. Like Saturday, you can do your cleansing work. Sunday, start the week fresh with this beautiful cocoa pack. I think this is a brilliant working. Have faith. The cards have picked up on, and all our readings have really picked up on what's going on in your situation. But we all see good things ahead of you. You know, have a little bit of faith. Believe in yourself. Get the help that you need professionally, and do this work. And I have no doubt that things are going to improve for you. And be sure to call back and let us know how things turned out. Okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right. All the best now. Miss Tammy Lee, let's have you lead us into our next caller.
Well, yes, sir, Kanjamin Ali, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo River Cower is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. And if your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and root work consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood, and also Kanjamin Ali of KanjaminAli.com, and this week's special guest, Madame Pamita of MadamePamita.com. And, of course, thank you so much, Deacon Millett, for filling in for our very own Miss Cat. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and go to the phones and go to our next client. And our next client is calling in, I believe this is my old stomping ground, 786 from South Florida. This is Latoya. Latoya, are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hi, Latoya. Welcome. Can you hear me?
Thank you.
Thank you
yes,
so much
you.
For joining us. Okay, and thank you for trying to listen when you can to the show. I'm going to go ahead, and I've read your brief readings that you've posted on the Lucky Mojo Forum, that you had a reading with Phoenix, but you have
yes.
not yet had, thank you so much, not yet had a reading with Miss Cat or Kanjamin Ali, okay? And you've also not yet been on the air with us before. And she writes, this is a very brief description. She writes, excuse me, going breakup work and reconciliation work on an ex from 24 years. But then I recently met 24
up. 24 years ago.
With that, yeah, about a year ago. So feel free to correct me. I'm just reading the brief sentence that you've got here in the forum, and I'll let the host guide you with regard to questions. Is that okay? All right. Great.
Okay.
Here we go.
Thank
trying
you,
to get back over to you, sir.
Thank you, my dear. I have a couple questions, Latoya, before we dive in, and we're going to have Madam Benny to do your first reading. You were saying that you're doing breakup and reconciliation work from an ex from 24 years ago. So basically, you had an ex that you were dating 24 years ago. You just met up with him a year ago, and now you're doing breakup and reconciliation work. So you're breaking up him from a current relationship or marriage. Is that correct?
Well, he said he's not in a relationship, but I think he is.
Okay, so, but you're trying to get this guy back. You used to date him 24 years ago,
right.
24 years ago, and you just met a year ago. But he is in your life right now.
Right.
Okay, and just real quickly, what sign of the zodiac are you, and what sign of the zodiac is he?
I'm a Pisces, and he's a Gemini.
Pisces and Gemini. Okay, and I'm going to turn this over to Madam Pamita to see what she sees in this situation. What I'm getting is that you want to see the chances of reconciliation with this man.
So if you guys are currently seeing each other and spending time together, I don't understand what the reconciliation is about. I'm sorry.
We had an argument maybe about a week ago, and I haven't heard from him. So that's reconciliation part.
Got it. Okay. All right, well, here's what I'm seeing here. It's kind of interesting because we have the first card that I pull up is the Ten of Wands. And Ten of Wands shows a fellow who has 10 big sticks, and he's carrying them, but he's hunched over, and it's hard work. So what I'm seeing, that first card is telling me if you decide to work on him, it's going to be work that's hard work. It's not going to be, like, easy breakup work where there's something that you're separating them and they go their own way. You may have to work on something for a while to see a result. Doesn't mean you can't do it. Okay. Ten of Wands says you're carrying those wands. But it may take a few candles to get there because wands represent the element of fire. Candles would be helpful for this. But it's going to take a little while to get there. The Empress card shows up, which is a card of love. She's a love goddess. And so what's interesting about this is there's kind of a push-pull between the Empress and the Ten of Wands. Empress shows a beautiful queen. She's sitting on a soft, pillowy throne. Around her are wheat growing and trees growing and rivers flowing, all this abundance around her. If I look at this, and what I'm getting from this is this. You can do more working on him, just letting it happen naturally, organically. Doing work on the material level is going to be easier than working on the spiritual level. Be in a place of abundant and generous love for him. You know, really be in that place of unconditional love for him. Work on being the love goddess yourself. You know, she is the love goddess. She has a symbol of Venus next to her. Be the love goddess. That's going to have more impact than doing this breakup work. You know, I think it's if you're seeing or suspecting that there's someone else there, why not be really the queen sitting on your throne? Like, why wouldn't he want me over her? Rather than getting in there and starting to do enemy work. I just see it being a lot of work and a lot of over and over again. It's kind of a little hard, a little tough. Page of Swords shows up as my last card. Page of Swords, of all the court cards, are the page, queen, knight, queen, king. Page of Swords is the most immature. Page of Swords is young and impetuous. I'll jump into something and do it, and then the next day I'm bored of it. So I think that there's a little quality of him that's like this. I don't know what age he is, but there's a young quality about him that's really fun, but there's a young quality that's very inconsistent about him. You've got a Gemini. He's an air sign. You're a Pisces. You're a water sign. You tend to like to have a little more stability than an air sign can generally offer. Gemini is an interesting sign because Geminis can really be in two places at one time. That can mean be in a marriage and have a lover at the same time and see no problem with that, or have two lovers at the same time, no problem with that. right? That's not all Geminis,
yeah.
But Geminis have this beautiful and wonderful ability of being very multitaskers, but when it comes to relationship, Pisces, I don't know, doesn't like all that stimulation of having that competition there. So, you know, in looking at this, you've got a guy who is a little bit on the flighty side. Your work, breakup work, you could have success with it, but it's going to be hard work, and much, much better work would be to really get your power. I would, working to get your magnetism and your power in drawing him in. You be the love goddess that he cannot resist. That's where it's at.
Mm.
Okay.
Thank you for that, Madam Femita. It was a brilliant reading. And I've done a geomancy reading here, and what I see concurs with her. But I have a couple points that I want to highlight, because I don't want to reiterate what she said. First, I have the right witness, it's Kalta Draconis. You've kind of already made up your mind to this situation. While you are getting a reading, there's a part of you that already knows what you want. So be careful of that, because if you go into this situation without this open mind, without that, you're going to end up trapping yourself. I look to the seventh house, and I have Tristitia. Tristitia passes into the ninth. I'm sorry, but this is an indication of he is likely cheating, or there is someone else there. I see at least one person who he's communicating with long distance. There may be more, but I'm picking up at least one person that he's communicating via the phone and whatnot. So whether it's worth staying in this relationship or not, it's really up to you. You are the Empress. You can find love no matter what you do, and you can get what you want, but do you want to stick around with a man who's got someone else on the side? The other thing that you should be aware of is that the projection of points, which is the hidden aspect, is the 10th house wheel, which indicates that he will likely be moving. There is some type of career change that is on the horizon for him within this next year, so I would say within the next 6 months, that will cause him to move or shift or get him to go in a different direction. And that's going to be a problem between you and him. It's going to draw him away even further and into the arms of this other person that I see. Now I turn back to the court. We saw Kalta Draconis as the right witness, kind of you made up your own mind. So I say, well, what's the outcome of all of this? The left witness is Rubius. This is the cup overturned. If you were to engage in this, and this talks about what Ms. what Madame Pamita said with the breakup work, if you kind of let yourself fall into this, where you're doing breakup work on him, you're trying to get rid of this hidden, unknown person, you're ending up allowing yourself being drawn into this quagmire that is really unnecessary and not worth your time, ultimately. It isn't the ideal way to start a relationship with someone where you need to do all this breakup work, especially someone you haven't seen for 24 years, you've kind of reconciled after a year, and you're doing breakup work. It's not exactly ideal, and the left witness tells us all the future holds further pain, further sorrow, and more than anything else, loss of control. So the Empress loses her status. She loses her strength, and she becomes this person that chases after a man that is somewhat unworthy. The judge is Amiso, which tells me that his feelings for you are sincere, but there is a great sense of loss here. I would be very careful going into this relationship. Geomancy is a little bit more stern and a little bit more cut and clear when it comes to relationships. And it's kind of telling me, yeah, like Madame Femita said, you could be successful should you want to be. Take the high road. Do more of the Empress style work than breakup work if you decide to stick around. But it's also saying, why do you want to stick around? Be careful. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn this over to Deacon Miller and see what he recommends in terms of root work in order to help the situation. Okay?
Okay.
Well, I concur. Obviously, you've gotten some incredibly good advice here. I do a lot of breakup work in my practice, and I require the name and photograph of the person that I'm breaking up. This sort of abstracted breakup with someone we can't identify, I find to be useless. You're not going to succeed. So drop it. Now, what you can do instead is work that will tie him to you. You can tie his nature. First, of course, you have to reconcile. That's not going to be that difficult. Just do a honey jar, do some peaceful home forgiveness, and you'll be back in communication. But please take a great deal of care. You've gotten some very important warnings from Congressman Ali and Madam Pamita, and you need to take those to heart. This is not a very stable relationship. It's not, it doesn't present the solidity that I think you would like to have with a lover. So really think about it. You can reconcile, you can get him back, you can then tie him to you as best you can, but I'm still sensing sorrow in regards to all of this. So as we were telling a previous caller, Khandriman Ali was talking about doing work to draw a perfect mate to you. And I really suggest you take that path because, as Ali was explaining to another caller, if this is the right person, boom, they'll be back. If not, you'll attract someone better. That's a win-win that you can rest easy with.
Okay.
All right. I hope that helps,
son.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You have some decisions to be making ahead of you in this situation, and they're not easy decisions. Given the readings that you were given today by myself, Madame Femina, once you can know what has seen, it's not going to be an easy decision, but definitely think about what you're going to do in regards to this relationship, because Deacon Millet said it, there's an instability there that is not ideal for this situation. But we do wish you all the best, and hopefully we were able to give you some insight into the situation, okay?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, interesting call this afternoon, and let's have Miss Tammy Lee guide us into our next session, which is the free spell aspect of our radio show.
Well, yes, sir, Khandriman Ali, and y'all, we have just under 8 minutes, I can see from the cell phone, I believe, for the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and from coast to coast and around the world, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. And if your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in each Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And now we're going to go ahead and turn this over once again for our free spell section and turning it over to you, Madame Pamita of MadamePamita.com in Santa Monica, California. Madame Pamita.
Well, one of the things that I love about all the great products that you can buy at Lucky Mojo, giving another plug here, is that they're multi-purpose products, you know? And so I've got a spell that I'm giving you that is a multi-purpose product. It's Gambler's Lucky 7 Tea. So this is a tea that you can drink before you go gambling. You can also use it as a hand wash. So you can use it internally or externally. And so because it's Lucky 7, we have 7 ingredients that are great for gambling luck. So the first thing you want to use for this tea is chamomile. Chamomile is a huge, powerful, and positive gambling tool. Those little golden flowers represent those gold coins, all that money you're going to draw in. So you start with a base of chamomile. And then you add rose petals to it. Rose sweetens. It has a sweetening energy and an attractive sort of energy to it. We usually think and associate rose with love work, but rose is great for gambling as well. You want to add some wintergreen. Wintergreen is also a really great gambling. It's a protective sort of quality to your money. We were talking about that earlier with gambling spells. You want to protect your money. Wintergreen is great for that. The green in wintergreen is also great for being a money attractant, American money, green, greenbacks, and all that. Ginger, you add a pinch of ginger to that. Usually if you can get the cut and sifted ginger versus the powdered ginger, because powdered ginger is a little powerful. But if you get a little pinch of that cut and sifted ginger, you add that. That heats up your luck. Ginger is one of the sweet, hot herbs that are good for heating up something in a positive way. So you want to heat up your luck, heat up those hands, heat up your money flowing in and get it going faster and coming in faster. You add that ginger there. Another great money herb is allspice, and it's great for drawing money. You put 7 allspice berries. So you pick out 7 of those little buds, those allspice berries, and you put those in. Add 7 cloves. Cloves are generally used as a, they're sort of more specific to dice games, but you can, so if you're playing craps or you're playing dice, but you can definitely add those in any gambling mojo hand, or in this case, the tea. And then last thing you want to add is your 7th ingredient. You want to use a stick of cinnamon, and you're going to use that stick of cinnamon to stir your tea. So what you do is you get a pot of water, you boil that water, and you add each of these ingredients. And as you do when you're doing a spell or you're doing a mojo hand, you ask each of the ingredients to do the specific work that they're good for. So wintergreen, protect my money as I'm gambling. Ginger, heat up my lucky streak, and so on and so forth. You use that cinnamon stick to stir the pot once you put all the ingredients in, and you stir it 7 times, praying over it, asking the herbs to do their work. Then you strain the herbs out after letting them steep for 7 minutes, letting them steep in that hot water, strain them out, and now you've got a gorgeous, edible tea, drinkable tea, that you can also use as a hand wash before you go gambling. Like, inside and out lucky. What's better than that?
I love that. That's brilliant. And it sounds so yummy. It's like a very yummy, spicy tea. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. You can drink it iced tea, too, if you want to.
And you're drinking this iced tea. And I love the number 7. This lucky number is there over and over again. Would it be all right if you, they wrote like a petition on the cinnamon stick and used that to stir the tea?
I love it. I love it. Excellent. Excellent suggestion.
That is a great tea. I love it. And it's old school. We don't often hear about working with teas nowadays, but it's great. Prescribing teas is something that traditional root workers have been doing for a long time, both for cleansing as well as in situations like this with luck. And I love the idea of being lucky on the inside and lucky on the outside. You drink a little bit of the tea, you wash your hands with that tea, and you go and you do whatever type of gambling or luck work that you do. That sounds great. I love it. Now, these herbs can also be used in a mojo bag or grounded into powder. So these herbs you can use in a variety of different fashions. The tea is just one way of employing them, and what a great way to combine them. But for those who are always looking to tinker and play around with this, this recipe of the herbs can also be used in a mojo bag if you're interested in doing that, carrying something with
Absolutely.
You versus tea or something like that. So it's a great combination on...
The only thing I'd make different in a mojo bag is I wouldn't put the stick of cinnamon because it's a little big to carry around, maybe a piece of that stick of cinnamon or some powdered cinnamon. That's the only thing I'd change because you want a big bulky cinnamon stick in your bra. Not me, at least. I don't know. So, yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, these 7 herbs are great, great herbs for gambling luck. They're great herbs for just luck in general and have a great quality of that. And, you know, if you wanted to even, I think when you're doing sort of gambling work, 7, working with the number 7 and working with the number 13 are the ways you want to go. So if you wanted to make this a 13, you could add in some of those harder things that are non-edible to your mojo bag. Like you could add a little alligator foot, or you could add an alligator tooth, or you could add a little High John the Conqueror root, or, you know, something like that. So you can add some of those things that are non-edible
right.
to your bag and bring.
I love it. Thank you for that free spell. It was great, and it's definitely going to be saved in the archives for anyone who did miss it. Try that out. Let us know how it turns out for you guys. It sounds wonderful. You know that I will be using it. With all credit due to you, of course, Madam Pavita. I'm going to try my hand at some luck, and I'll let you know how it goes.
I love it.
Miss Tammy Lee, why don't you take us out?
Yes, sir, Conjure Man Alien. Here we go. Thank you, Conjure Man Alien. Thank you, Deacon Millett, and the fouraltos.org in the high desert of California for filling in for our very own Miss Cat of LuckyMojo.com this week. We especially appreciate Madam Pamita of MadamPamita.com in Santa Monica, California, for being our very special guest member from the Association of Independent and Reducing Root Workers this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from AIR will be Apollo Dark of ApolloDark.com in Santa Rosa, California. Once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TrevorConConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye. Be blessed and have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Ms. Tim Lee, and thank you, Deacon Millett, for filling in for Ms. Cat, and thank you, Madam Samita, for being our guest. Couldn't have done the show without you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Good night.